Joshua chapter number 7. I preached from here Sunday night, and I want to go back here. I've just been studying in this chapter for a few weeks, and you pray for me. And I don't know, I had not sick or anything like that, but just got a cough about 2 weeks ago that I can't get rid of. Amen. A lot of things since COVID we've got we can't get rid of. Isn't that right? And I've done everything except gargle kerosene, and so it's just still here. And I don't recommend, don't go home and try that. Some of y'all thinking about it, I can tell. But I'm going to preach as long as I can. If I get to coughing, then I just shut her down, amen. But I do have a message tonight, and I pray that God will help us and that the Lord will speak to us tonight. Joshua chapter number 7, if you're able to stand, and we'll look at verse number 2 tonight. Joshua chapter number 7. And verse number 2, the Bible says, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. They returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Sherebim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." Father, I ask you tonight, if you would, to help us these next few moments. I pray, dear Lord, that you would give us a special touch tonight. I ask you to speak to every heart. I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here that's lost, I pray that tonight they would come and be born in the family of God. I pray that you would encourage those that may be discouraged tonight, strengthen the weary. I pray, Lord, that you would get glory and honor. I pray if there's anyone backslid tonight, Father, that you would speak to their heart, and may they come to an altar of repentance. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to lift our eyes in the hills from whence cometh our help. And Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. For we ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want us to look closely at this text for just a few moments tonight, and I want us to consider the defeat in the nation of Israel here. We know that this is important because it's not only historical, but there is a principle tonight in this text that I think is important in all of our lives. When you think about the nation of Israel here in this text and Joshua, their leader, you'll notice with me in verse number 2 what I would call the obvious. Amen. The Bible says, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai." Now, the obvious here is that Israel at this point has leadership that is strong. The Bible mentions Joshua, and we know that Joshua, the son of Nun, the Bible talks about him, that when he was a young man, he stood in the tent door there as Moses spoke to the Lord face, or as the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. And Joshua was a great leader. He had the promise of God that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So Israel is in a good place here because their leadership is strong. And then the laborers in this verse has been sent. Joshua sends men here from Jericho down to Ai. And so these men are going out on a mission. And I would remind us tonight that what they're doing in this text is what they did oftentimes when they would get ready to go into battle. They would send spies out and they would spy out the land. So everything that we're reading here in verse number 2, we would call this the obvious. Amen. And then there is the land that is significant. When you think about Jericho, Jericho had a curse that was upon it. But Israel comes into the land of Canaan, and God gives them a victory here, and they take the land of Jericho. And so they've got a victory. Chapter 6 is a chapter of success. Amen. And so we know that Israel has been in a good place. Now, when we look at verse number 2, we also see some orders that have been given here. And these are very simple orders. As Joshua says, go up and view the country. Amen. And so he sends these spies up and he gives them these simple orders. They're strategic orders because this is, as I mentioned before, this is what they do. They go up, they spy the land out. Everything they're doing is the strategy that they would take in getting ready for war. Isn't that right? And so
So we see the obvious. We see the orders. We see their obedience. The Bible said that the men went up and they viewed Ai. Now here's what I want you to see in verse 2. There's nothing in verse 2 that caused Joshua or these spies that went up or what they saw. There's nothing in verse number 2 that caused them to be cautious whatsoever. They are moving forward. They have just won a great victory. And they're getting ready to go to battle, and they're getting ready to fight another battle. And in their mind, they're getting ready to win another victory. Amen. When we think about the obedience of these men in verse number 2, there's absolutely no resistance. There's no reluctance. They go up. They follow the orders that have been given unto them. Everything in verse 2 seems to be going in the right direction, doesn't it? We see the observation in verse number 3. As the Bible said that they returned to Joshua. They said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So we look at their observation. They come back. They return to Joshua. They make this announcement here. We've got this strategy together. Let's don't send everybody up. They've got an assessment here. The assessment is we don't need all the nation of Israel, just about 2,000 or 3,000 men, because the assumption is we're going to win because they're just a few. Boy, when I think about this text, it's real easy to assume things in life, isn't it? It's not a big battle to them, and it's not a big deal. You know, sometimes in life we face things, we don't think it's a big battle, and we don't think it's a big deal. But when we get to verse 4 and 5, I want you to notice the outcome here. Because in verse number 4, they faced defeat. The Bible says, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and look at this. And they fled before the men of Ai. They face defeat, don't they? Ai puts them on the run. Amen. They head up that mountain to the city of Ai, and they send them right back down. They face defeat. In verse 5, they face death. 36 men lose their lives in verse number 5. And then finally, at the end of verse 5, they face discouragement. As the Bible said, that the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. What's really sad about this text tonight is that here is the nation of Israel. In verse number 5, they're living in defeat, but they're in the land of victory. I want to preach on that a few minutes tonight, on facing defeat in the land of victory. Facing defeat in the land of victory. I mean, if it would have been in the wilderness, we could have understood it. Amen. If it would have been in Egypt, we could have understood it. But they get defeated in the very place that God had promised them victory, the very place that they were supposed to win every battle. They could have won every battle, and yet they're defeated. You know, a lot of times in life, that's what happens to God's people. They live in defeat when they're living in the land of victory. You say, Brother Grab, are you talking about America? Oh, no. I'm talking about when you get saved. God, listen, he gives you the promises of this book. He gives you the Word of God. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the church. He gives us everything we need, just like Israel, to go forward, to win the battles, to live in victory. And if, listen, a lot of times what happens is, instead of moving forward and living in victory, we live in defeat. Question that comes to my mind tonight is, why did they live in defeat in the land of victory? You could say, and of course, verse 1 makes it very clear, there was sin in the camp, wasn't there? But when you look at this text tonight, the sin is what caused them to be defeated. I want you to notice some things in this text here that also caused them to live in defeat. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, notice in verse number 2 here, a lack of prayer. When we come to verse number 2, we know that Achan has sinned. We know that verse 1 makes it clear that there's sin in the camp. But listen, just because there was sin in the camp didn't mean they had to live in defeat. Sin can be dealt with. You see here tonight, you may have sin in your life. And you know what you could do tonight? You can confess it, as we've already said. You can get right with God. Just because there's sin in your life doesn't mean you have to live in defeat. You can do something about that sin. And the problem in verse number 2 is this, is that nobody prays. Amen. Joshua does not pray. The leader doesn't pray. The laborers in this text do not pray. You see, nobody called on God. And Joshua done in verse 2 what we see him doing in verse number 6 here. The Lord would have told him the same thing before they went to Ai that he told him after they went to Ai, and they would not have faced the defeat. Pays to pray about everything, doesn't it? Joshua was a great man. He was a great leader. But in this text, these men in verse 2, they're walking by sight rather than by faith, amen. And no doubt, when you think about this impressive victory that we read about in chapter number 6, Jericho could have gave, I'm not saying it is the case, but it could have gave Joshua and it could have gave these leaders here the self-confidence that they needed to just make the mistake. I don't think it was just necessarily a sin against God, but I think subconsciously, they just move forward like we do a lot of times and just didn't think to pray about what they were going to do. I mean, if they whipped Jericho, well, they could take Ai. Well, if God gave me a victory here, if I can overcome that, then that ain't going to be nothing. You know, it's amazing what brings people down sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes it's not the big sins. Sometimes it's not the big battles that brings us to our knees and brings us to our face. You know, here tonight, I don't think I'm preaching to people that are out smoking dope and drinking beer and living a wicked, loose lifestyle. At least I would hope that's not the case. But I don't think on a Wednesday night that's the crowd that I'm talking to, that you're defeated because of those things. But I think there are other things, that little battles, little cities in our life, that we just kindly overlook those things and we don't really pray about them because we think, well, if we've got a victory here, then we don't have to really worry about this. This isn't going to take me down. I'm going to tell you something. Jealousy can take you down. Bitterness can take you down. Anger can take you down. Hatred can take you down. There's a lot of little things, little cities that can bring us to our knees. Amen. See, the greatest battle in my life and yours may not seem big to other people. It may be an Ai in your life. It may be something so small that you're like, well, I don't need God's help on that. Or maybe you don't say that. I don't think Joshua said that. I don't think these men thought that. But I think that they were just so confident after what had happened that they thought, you know what, we're just going to move right forward. But the Bible said that we're to pray without ceasing. Amen. We're to pray about everything. Ephesians 6 and verse 18 said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. We're always to pray about things. Amen. We're to ask. And you know, sometimes when we pray, we think, well, I'm not going to ask God for this or pray about that. It's such a small thing. But like the songwriter said, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Amen. And I promise you tonight that there's things that God, He wants us to talk to Him about because it's important to Him. Amen. See, we don't pray to impress God, and we don't ever pray to inform God. He already knows these things. There's nothing I can ever say to impress Him. But when we pray about things, the purpose of prayer is that we invite God into our life. We tell God things He already knows. We tell Him things that He can articulate it far better than what we could, and certainly the Holy Spirit does, but why does He want us to pray about these things? So we will invite Him in. God is not just going to invade our life. Had Joshua just got on his knees and prayed, said, Lord, we're fixing to go into battle, that, listen, God would have spoke to Joshua and said, wait a minute, Joshua, before you go, there's sin in the camp. There's something that's got to be dealt with. I say it was a lack of prayer that led to this defeat, and a lack of prayer always leads to defeat in all of our life. Amen. I want to say tonight, not only a lack of prayer, but number 2, notice with me in verse number 3, a lot of pride. Because the Bible says, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for there but a few. I don't think this is the kind of pride that sticks its chest out and says that we're big and we're bad and we can do. I don't think that's the kind of pride these men had. And tonight, this is the way our flesh is. You know, pride, somebody said that pride is the only disease that makes everyone else sick but the one who has it. And it's true, isn't it? Pride will blind the individual. Others can see pride in a person's life. But it takes the Holy Spirit to show us pride in our life. And I promise you, everyone, including from the pulpit tonight, and I'll tell you, we deal with pride, don't we? It's in us tonight. And the only way to deal with pride is to every day ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be humble. Help me to stay humble. Lord, help me, God. I humble myself before you. I don't want you to humble me, Lord. I want to humble myself before you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. Amen. You know how pride gets in our life? By just not humbling ourselves before God. We don't have to stick our chest out. We don't have to listen, make some big bold announcement. But when you go day after day and you don't pray and we don't ask God for help in those little things that we really do need his help in, you know what happens? There's a self-sufficiency that creeps into our life that tells us subconsciously, you can take care of this. You can do this. You don't really have to pray about this. I'm telling you, listen, these men, if you'll notice in verse 3, they didn't say anything about the Lord. Joshua didn't say nothing about the Lord in verse number 2. In fact, he took the counsel of these spies rather than seek the counsel of God. Now, he was a godly man. He was a spiritual man. He was seeking the Lord's counsel, but in this case, he just didn't think it was a big deal. And these men come back, and when they come back, they give a report. Hey, we're bigger than them. We're better than them. We don't even need everybody to take them down. If we took Jericho down, we can surely take Ai down. I'm going to tell you something. They didn't need everybody, but they needed God. Amen. Because it was God that took Jericho down, and it'll be God that will take the Ai's down in our life. Amen. I know a man tonight. I won't go into detail and I won't bore you with the detail, but I know a man tonight that's out in deep sin, that it all started every bit of 15 to 20 years ago. One day in a conversation, he said to me that I didn't even take serious. He said to me, he said, I got rid of my weights, his weight bench. I said, what'd you do that for? And he said, I love working out so much. He said that it builds pride in my life. And he wasn't somebody that worked out and took pictures of himself. He wasn't somebody that walked around with a muscle shirt on and trying to show his muscle. He wasn't any of that. He just was in good shape. And when he told me that, I didn't think anything about it because I thought, obviously I don't work out, I don't have that problem, amen. But he had that problem, and I thought, I just kind of didn't think nothing of it. He got rid of it. About 10 years went by. He got it back. I didn't think nothing when he got it back, but it destroyed his life. Something as simple as lifting weights. You say, Brother Gravely, are you telling me it's wrong to lift weights? No, I'm not telling you that's wrong. I'm not even telling you it's sinful for somebody else. But for him, it was an Ai, wasn't it? You see, there was something that the devil brought to my mind about 2 months ago. And if I told you what it was, you'd say, that's not sin. It's not, maybe it's not sin, and it's not sin. But to me, there was a time in my life many, many years ago when it became such an idol for me. I loved it more than, and I spent more time with it, and I spent more money on it years ago when I was just a teenage boy. And that thing crept back up just a few months ago. The devil said, wouldn't you like to go back to that? Would you like, you could do that now. And I said, devil, I'm not touching that. Amen. I'm not going to that. If I told you what it was, you wouldn't think it was sin, but I'll tell you what it is. It's an Ai in my life. It's something that would bring pride in my life. And we don't need those things that build pride in our life. And the problem with these men in verse number 3 is that these spies say nothing about the Lord. They only talk about their confidence to defeat the city of Ai. They're confident that they're bigger than them, bigger than their enemy. I'll tell you, we are in trouble anytime we think we're bigger than our enemy. the world, the flesh, the devil. Maybe in life we face the devil one time, if ever. The world we face often. But the greatest enemy we have tonight is ourself. This stuff right here. It's my great... You know who my biggest problem is tonight? You're looking at him. The flesh. The flesh. Paul, that great Christian, said, put no confidence in the flesh. Boy, the flesh will talk to you night and day if you listen to it. A lack of prayer, a lot of pride. Then I would say a loss of power. In verse 4, they're just like Samson. They go forth into battle, not knowing that God is not going to battle with them. That God is not going to bless them. In Deuteronomy 32 in verse number 30, Moses said this. He said, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Now what Moses is saying there is that one Jewish soldier could put 1,000 enemies on a run. He could chase 1,000 enemies. Two Jewish soldiers could put 10,000 enemies to flight. Amen. If that's the case, then three soldiers, had Israel been right with God, three soldiers could have went down there and took Ai. They wouldn't have even needed 3,000. Amen. I'm telling you, with an arsenal and an army of 3,000 men without God, they couldn't win the battle. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we are sure to live in defeat anytime that we go forth and we don't have God working with us and working for us. Amen. I need the Lord's help in everything that we do. A loss of power. The power of God is the most important thing in our life, isn't it? We need power to pray. We need power to witness. We need power to serve. We need power to raise our family. We need power to preach. We need power to teach Sunday school. We need a power of God in the church. Amen. We don't need more talent. We don't need more money. We don't need more ability, but we do need more power. Would you agree with that tonight? I'm telling you, God can get in one little song and it can do more than the entire service. Amen. God can step down in one part of a message and His power be on display and touch the hearts of men, and it'll move people and it'll change lives. We don't need personality, we don't need performance, but we do need the power of God. Amen. We can't, you know, you can't make your children serve God. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can be spirit filled and you walk with God and you can pray for them, and the power of God can do what others cannot do, what you cannot do, what I cannot do. Why did they live in defeat in the land of victory? A lack of prayer, a lot of pride, a loss of power. And then finally, of course, if we look at verse number 1, a life of pleasure. We know that Achan is responsible for the sin that takes place here. While men are, you know, I thought about this. While these men are fighting in verse number 4 and 5, while they're fleeing and while some of them even fall, and 36 men die, I wonder where Achan's at. He's going to be in one of the two places. I wonder if Achan is on the battlefield watching people die, knowing that his sin is responsible for the defeat. Or I wonder if Achan is sitting in his tent with his garment on, and his silver and his gold, while the brethren are at battle and while they're falling. I wonder if he's enjoying his sin for a season while others, innocent people, are dying. You know, you think about it. I preached a Sunday night on how God views sin. Tonight, you think about this. Sin has repercussions not just in our life but in the lives of others. Sin, although every person has a choice, but sin can bring hardship and sin can cause others to live in defeat because of the things that we do. I do know tonight that God can give grace to overcome anything. But you would agree with me tonight that if a daddy gets out into sin, the effects it will have upon the children. Oh, you say, well, they can live for, they can, but I'm going to tell you, there's the exceptions, but the rule is most of the time that it affects people's life. You know, I think when we consider sin tonight in our life, we should always think about How's this going to affect me? How's it going to affect others? And I'll tell you, there's no sinful pleasure tonight worth enjoying while others are losing tonight. You think about the daddy sitting down at the bar, drinking on a bar stool, cussing, gambling, having a Friday night, Saturday night, time of his so-called life. And you think about the family at home that's suffering, the children, maybe they don't have something to eat, the wife that is sitting there worried how he's going to come home or if he's going to come home. You think about the teenager, the young adult that goes out and chooses to live their own life in sin. And they're enjoying their sin and they're just having the time, sinful pleasure. All the while their parents are at home, aging, worried, stressed, weeping over their child. Others suffer the defeat. I don't know where Achan was. But I wonder, was Achan enjoying that sinful pleasure for a season, wearing his garment, enjoying his gold, enjoying his silver, while 36 men lost their lives, a battle they should have walked away with victory, but they walked away in defeat. You know, tonight, we ought to examine our life because this is how you live in victory. You got to do what Joshua should have done. I'm not beating up on Joshua. He's greater man of God than I'll ever be. But you got to do what Joshua should have done. Learn from it. Keep a short account with God. And don't let the AIs of life, don't overlook the little thing. Oh, well, I can handle that. I don't really need to pray about that. No, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Write things down. Keep a prayer journal. Make a note. You know, even if it's just a little pad, say, I want to ask, these are some things I'm asking God to do specifically today. These are some things I'm praying about today. Maybe it's for your life. Maybe it's for your children. You know, when you feel that burden come over you about someone or something, you ought to write down some specific things about that. Just start praying about it. Just start talking to God about it. You know, when the Bible said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You know what that means? It means look for the areas of your life where the devil could get in, that weak area, that AI, and pray about it. Tonight as we stand, if you need to come, we're going to sing.